this special extended podcast for the complete service for Sunday the 17th of May. Due to the restrictions on public worship across the Church of England, we are live streaming our services on Facebook for the foreseeable future. You can join us each Sunday at 10:15 a.m. without needing to be signed into Facebook. We'll be posting that necessary link along with other resources at www.stpeters.co/sermons. You may want to go and download the material to follow along this service and participate more fully. We compiled this podcast to enable those who are unable to join us live to worship in their own homes. We've also now added a complete video recording of the service, which you can access by visiting the sermon section of our website and selecting the date of the service you want to watch. This began on Sunday the 3rd of May. Good morning! Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Sorry, my hair's getting a bit lockdown hairy today. Nice to see you all. Let me just close some things down so that I can get ready with the service. Welcome. Welcome to the live stream of Sunday worship here at St. Peter's. Nice to see everyone saying hello on the comments section as always. I will stop saying good morning to specific people because I'm going to be speaking from the front. You should have downloaded a service sheet, either printed it out or have it open in a window next to you so that you can follow along with the liturgy and indeed with the song words. Although the song words are now, because we've got YouTube videos being played, they should be on the screen as well, but they're there just in case things go terribly wrong. As always, this is technological, so I want to apologise for any technical glitches that we might have, like we did last week. Thank you for your patience with all of that. Please do continue to be patient with us, and it's just nice to be able to be together, even if it is remotely in these crazy times. We're going to begin our Sunday service now with our Easter acclamation, because we're still in the season of Easter. We're still celebrating Jesus's victory over death. So we're still celebrating that. So let's proclaim that truth. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We come from scattered lives to meet with God. Let us recognize his presence with us. So let's just take a few moments just to breathe in, to try and just create a little bit of calm. I don't know how your Sunday mornings have been, if it's been easy or stressful. Let's just create a moment of calm and recognise that God stands in the midst of us, in our homes, wherever we find ourselves, to say, peace be with you. So let's just rest in that presence for a moment. So back to the liturgy. As God's people we have gathered, let us worship him together. Just before we start our service with sung worship, I just want to make sure that children have got a piece of paper, a pen of some description or a pencil, and some scissors, and particularly an adult. I also put on the resource page a list of some things that I'm going to, some statements that I'd like the children to finish, and indeed you as well, adults. So I do hope you have those ready as well. If not, just during this song, you might want to just pop over to that website, stpeters.co/17th-may-blah-blah-blah-blah-blah. It's at the comments section beside us. Go there and make sure that you've got all of those things ready. But let's worship the Lord with a good classic. This, and I have to say, many of you will know that Mike and I have an ongoing discussion about worship songs, about what's work and what's not. And actually, Mike has been doing some great reflections during lockdown, which is always a delight to hear. But this is a sort of, I don't know what Mike thinks. And now it's got to the point where whenever I choose worship songs, I've got Mike Rowland in my head. I mean, it's a good thing to have. It's a good kind of check and balance. So it would be interesting to hear what he thinks of this worship song. I do love you, Mike. And I love that this triggers thoughts of you. It's Who Is There Like You? Let's worship God together. Sorry if that was a bit of a glitch in the transmission there. I think my internet's just a bit weaker today for some reason. We're going to now turn to our gospel reading. You can find this, if you've got Bibles with you, it's in John chapter 14, starting at the 15th verse. So John chapter 14, starting at the 15th verse. This is a continuation from last week's reading. Jesus is with his friends, just about to head towards the cross and his death and resurrection. And he's having the final conversation with his friends. And so he says this. Sorry, hold on. Let me just say before that. Alleluia, alleluia. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Alleluia. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. So Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. If they've not already gathered, could the children just please come around the screen? Just want to have a brief conversation with you guys before sending you off on a particular task. Jesus, as I said last week, is very much talking about very scary things like dying and living. And sometimes it can get very confusing, particularly the Bible reading today. Jesus is talking in a bit of what's called enigmas, lots of words that are kind of like, what does he mean? What's he talking about? The Father being in me and me being in you and you being in me, and who's in who and who's connected to who? It can be really easy to get confused by this language, but there are some very simple language that we can hold on to. First of all, the language of love. What does it mean to love someone? Does it mean just to feel nice about them? Does it mean just, you know, when they're being nice and kind, that's when I love them. When they're not being very nice, I don't really love them because, you know, they're not being very nice to me. What does it mean to love? And how do we love God? Well, Jesus says, if you love me, then you keep my commandments. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I really struggle to keep rules and to do as I'm told. I want you to stand up. Now, whatever you do, do not look at your feet. Whatever you do, don't look at your feet. Now, how many of you wanted to look at your feet just then? There's something about our human spirit, I think, that says the moment someone says, whatever you do, don't do this, our brains kick in and go, why not? Why not? Why can't I? Why can't I do that? And we sort of want to be our own people and make our own decisions and not be told what to do. I'm a kind of person who likes to do the opposite of what people expect. And I've really struggled when I was a child to do as I was told. Although I did like being, you know, obeying the rules. There were times when I just wanted to kind of surprise people with what I wore. Like my brother would say, whatever you do, do not wear that lime green all-in-one outfit. And I was like, I'm definitely doing that. But that's because it was my brother, really. But keeping rules is a bit of a difficult thing to do sometimes. But Jesus says, if you love me, you will do as I say. You will keep my commandments. You will keep by my rules. So how do we do that? Right. I want you, you should have, if you've prepared yourself, got post-it notes or bits of tape or coloured tape or something that you can stick on the wall. Parents, what I want you to do is I want you to reach up as high as you can on a wall nearby and put a sticky note quite high up, okay? As high as you can reach. Once you've done that, children, I want you to get your post-it notes or your sticky tape, so your bit of blue tack or whatever it is that's going to stick on the wall. And I want you to try and jump and reach that point that your parents put up high on the wall, okay? I want you to try and jump and stick as high as you possibly can, okay? Have a go. Try and do that. Everyone else, you'll just have to imagine children doing that, okay? Just picture Albert jumping or Ronan or Audrey. Just picture them jumping up and trying to stick them on. No matter how hard we try, sometimes we always fall short from the mark. We try our best to do it, but we don't always succeed. And that is often the case with Jesus's commandments and Jesus's rules. We try our best to do it, and yet we fall short. We all fall short. We always have something where we kind of go, I did my best, and that's okay, but if I'm honest, I didn't quite meet up to it. I didn't love everyone. I wasn't kind to that person. I didn't say nice words to that person. So what does it mean when we say Jesus says that if you love me, you will keep my commandments? Well, what if we don't keep my commandments? Well, Jesus says he is going to bring a helper, an advocate. This is what the Holy Spirit, this is what we're looking forward to celebrating in Pentecost. God's Holy Spirit enables us, helps us to reach that mark. So it's kind of like parents lifting you up as children, lifting you up to meet the mark. Because only with his help, with our Father's help, can we reach that mark up on the wall. That's what the Holy Spirit is coming to do. That we can't love God in the way that we want to love God. We can't do as God wants us because we just keep failing or going our own way. And that's what sin is. So the Holy Spirit is coming to help us. I don't know if you remember, way, 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 way back at Easter Sunday, I talked about forgiveness. And I talked about Jesus coming before his friends and offering them forgiveness. And saying that it's really hard and we can't do it. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. That we need to pray for the Holy Spirit to help us forgive other people. Help us to keep God's commandments so that we can love God. And what are Jesus's commandments? Well, of course, the Bible tells us a whole load of things that he desires for us. But they can be summed up in these two important commandments. First, and perhaps the most important, love God with your whole heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul. Love God with everything that you've got. Now, that's hard enough. So we need the Holy Spirit for that. But the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. Now, what does that mean? Who is our neighbour? Well, the Good Samaritan. Jesus told us the parable of the Good Samaritan to teach us that, in fact, anyone in need is our neighbour. Anyone that we see that needs help, anyone that we meet is a potential neighbour and we should love them. Now, we're not saying love them as you love yourself. Forget about loving yourself. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible wants us to love people, to love other people as we would want to be loved. As we are loved indeed by God, we are to love other people. But if we love God, then we would keep his commandments, which is to love him and to love other people, to serve them, to do good, to help them when they are in need. So, I've got some phrases. I want you to answer these and put them in the comments section. I want to hear as many suggestions as possible. We'll start with letter A. So if you just put A in your comment section, ready to respond. I want you to finish this sentence for me, okay? Kids and adults. If we love our parents, then dot, dot, dot. If we love our parents, then dot, dot, dot. So just put A in the comment section and then put what you think, how we should finish that sentence. Okay? So just in the comment section now. Whilst I'm waiting, I'm just going to have a cup of tea. Anyone? If we love our parents, then... I wonder how you might want to finish that sentence. Adults can respond as well, by the way. It doesn't have to just be children. Look at me, filling time. This is what live TV's like. Just waiting. Anyone can phone in at any point. Thanks, Michelle. Yes. If you love your parents, then give them chocolate. That's a parent speaking there. Pick a nice... Very good, Becky. Pick a nice care home. If you love your parents, pick a nice care home. Yes. Been very much praying for that, for a particular member of our congregation. I've been praying about that. Respect them. Thank you. Be obedient. Yes, very good. I'll come back onto that, Ginter. Yes, be obedient. I'm going to come onto that just to finish. We should help them. Thank you, Bronte. Yes, if you love your parents, you should help them. Okay, this is B. Okay, keep putting A's if you want, but this is letter B. If you train hard at running, then dot, dot, dot. If you train hard at running, then dot, dot, dot. Put B in the comment section and then respond. If you train hard at running, then what? All having a bit of a think. I wonder, adults, how you might respond. If you train hard at running, then what? Yes. If you train hard at running, then you will be tired. If you train hard at running, then you will get sore knees. Very good. It is getting slightly confusing now, because fortunately Rachel did put an A. If you train hard at running, then you should eat all your dinner. It's a bit of a strange one. These are great suggestions. Final one. If you treat people with respect, then dot, dot, dot. If you treat people with respect, then dot, dot, dot. Put C next to that, although on the website it's E. We're just going to skip a few from that. If you treat people with respect, then dot, dot, dot. What's interesting, looking back through the comments section, is how different we can respond to that. In the first instance, if you do something, then there's often a reward, or there is something that will happen to you. Very few, except for the loving the parents, was if you love them, then you should do something. So if you want to do something, then you should do something else to help you with that. This is what God is teaching us. If you want to love someone, then you should do something. Not, if you love me, then I will give you a whole load of treats, or I will make you be able to do this, or I'll be able to enable you to kind of go all over the place and I will bless you, etc. It's, if you love me, then I expect something else from you. And Ginter mentioned the word obedience. And this is what we're talking about, children, about doing as we're told. And that's often what we think of as obedience. It's a pressure, it's a duty. We have to do it. Do you know what the word obedient really means? It comes from a word which means to listen intently. So if you love someone, you will listen to them with all your heart. I don't know if you have someone that you're really, really fond of. Maybe a parent or a friend or a sibling, that you love them so much that you just hang on every word that they say, that whatever they say you want to listen to and you want to hear and you want to understand and you enjoy your conversations with them. So when Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey me, it means if you love me, you will listen to what I'm telling you. I am instructing you with tenderness and with gentleness. I'm telling you really important things of what I want you to do. And we would listen intently. And not only just listen, but do. Because that's what we want to do. We want to please the people that we love. So if we love Jesus and we love God with all our heart and all our being, then we will listen to his words and we will do it. And that is being obedient. Now, obedience is quite often you will obey me, like this. But with God, it's not. It's listen. Listen to me. Do as I say, because I've got some really good plans for you. This is what Jesus is saying. And fortunately, even though we might want to obey, we might want to listen to God, the Holy Spirit comes. And so we're going to pray in a moment through sung worship, pray that the Holy Spirit would come and fall on us and help us to do as God would do, to love like God loves us. So we're going to worship now. We're going to sing the song and we're going to pray that the Holy Spirit will descend upon us. Oh no, hold on. We've got confession first. So we talked a lot about falling short. So we're going to admit to God, do you know what? It is tough. It is really difficult to reach what you're asking us to do, because what you're asking us to do is really difficult. To forgive other people, I find that really difficult. Or to love this person, I find that really difficult. And we're going to admit to God that we find that difficult. And then we're going to pray that the Holy Spirit will help us. So turning to our service sheets, we say together, Eternal God, we confess that often we have failed to be obedient, church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbours. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I'm going to read a little bit from Paul's letter to Titus. I want you to listen really carefully to these words. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is sure, I desire that you insist on these things, so that those who have come to believe in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable to everyone. So let us worship God together. I do love that song. I hope that will be our prayer for the rest of the week. We're going to have our second Bible reading now. Sarah's going to read it in just a moment. Children, I want you to... I'm really enjoying you taking photos and sending them in. So we're going to do it again this week. I just think it's a really great way for the rest of the church family to remember one another and to be involved so that we can see one another, not just this ugly mug here. So I'd like you to go off and with... whatever way you like, either with your own bodies and taking freeze frames, or with toys, cuddly toys, the scary thing that the Arnott, that Abigail and Maisie have that keeps coming popping up. However you want to take some pictures of people showing that they love God. So how might they present being loving God, knowing what we've just heard, that if we love God, then what should we do? and let's see some pictures of Cuddly Toys or you showing what it is to love God. How can we show if we love God, then dot, dot, dot. What have we just learned? So take some photos of you doing that and do send them in as we go through. But we're going to have our second Bible reading. This is from Acts chapter 20, verse 17. And Sarah Rowland has very kindly done our reading for us.
This morning's reading is taken from Acts chapter 20, verses 17 to 24. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I have lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears. Although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews, you know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but I have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both the Jews and the Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
Thank you, Sarah. This is Paul leaving Ephesus. We've been with Paul in Ephesus for 2 weeks now, following the trials and tribulations. John preached powerfully about the riot in Ephesus and about what was going on there and what Paul had to face as he preached and proclaimed the good news of Jesus, and particularly his resurrection. To live out that kind of way of life was threatening to people, and that people found it quite difficult to take. I want to reflect a little bit on that, on the way in which we live our lives. How often, John asked in his sermon about how much does the way that we live our lives cause people difficulty? Not that we should seek to be difficult people, but so often people will judge us as judgmental, will call us certain things because they look at us and they make it shows a sort of mirror up to them. How often do our behaviours create a contrast with the way of the world? How often do people kind of go, "Hold on a sec, you're not living the same way as other people"? And that often will bring people to think that it's a bad thing, that they feel threatened by that. So how often do we do that? Paul has been facing quite a lot of riots, as I said, and of judgment. And he goes, he's now about to leave, and he gathers the people of the Ephesus church around him. And he is very, very vulnerable. What we read here is not the Paul that we read in his letters. You know, Paul we often see as this kind of fiery, passionate, you know, hard-hitting, no-compromise sort of a leader. He proclaims the gospel with no grey area. It's black and it's white and it's hard-hitting. But here we see Paul in a more vulnerable state, a tender state. Let me read you those words again. "You yourselves know how I lived among you the entire time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears, enduring the trials that came to me through the plots of the Jews. I did not shrink from doing anything helpful, proclaiming the message to you and teaching you publicly and from house to house. As I testified to both Jews and Greeks about the repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. I came serving you in humility and with tears, enduring the trials, not shrinking from doing anything helpful, teaching you publicly and from house to house." I have to say, as I read this as a pastor and as a leader, I want to be able to turn to you guys whenever I leave Greenhill to move on to new ministry. I want to be able to turn to you and to say, is this not true? Did I not do these things? And I hope that you too will be able to say it to the people that you serve, wherever you go, in your workplaces, in your families, in your friendship groups, to be able to turn to them and to say, is this not true? Did I not serve you in humility, with tears, enduring the trials, proclaiming the message, teaching you publicly and also personally in the domestic setting, house to house? How much of us yearn to be able to say this to the people that we know? And he's enduring. There's a perseverance here in Paul's desires. What he wants them to take home is not, do you know the right things, but look how I endured the trials. Watch me. Imitate me. Here we have this obedience again. I have loved you. I have obeyed you. I have listened carefully to what you desire, and I have done it. And I have listened to God because I love him, and I have been faithful to what I've been called to do. All of us have different vocations. I've been wrestling a lot with my vocation over the lockdown. I've had lots of time to do it. And I had a meeting with the bishop this week. It was a lovely time. I do love Bishop Pete. He's a tender and considerate pastor. And we had an honest conversation about my vocation, about where I'm called to and what I'm called to be in the context here at St. Peter's, but also in the diocese. And as I wrestle with this vocation, it does come down to, for me, I can work out the specifics as I go along, and the Lord will continue to reveal that to me. But whilst I'm discerning those specific things, I want to be able to just love God, to love Jesus, to be able to just turn up to him and be faithful to him. And do you know what? It doesn't really matter if I don't know exactly where we're going or exactly what we're doing. If I can just be faithful to Jesus every moment in everything that I do, he will reveal what he's asking of me. And I pray that that will be the same for you as you wrestle with what God is asking of you at this time, where he's calling you, what he wants you to do or to be in your contexts, to your family, in your households, or to the wider community, to be able to be faithful, to listen to him, to love him, and to obey him, and to be faithful to him. Paul goes on, and now as a captive to the Spirit, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and persecutions are waiting for me. But I do not count my life of any value to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the good news of God's grace. I'm on my way to something new. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what's going to happen. All I know is that the Holy Spirit is telling me that it's not going to be plain sailing. God never promises that. In fact, here he is testifying to imprisonment and persecution. The Holy Spirit will lead us into trials and tribulations. So if you find yourselves in trials and tribulations, do not be afraid. This is common life for the Christians. And it is there that we ask for the Holy Spirit again to help us to be faithful, to love God and to obey his commandments. That the Holy Spirit is coming, our advocate, this other advocate, is coming to dwell within us, to reveal Jesus to us, to reveal God, that we can love him better because we can see him and we know him deep in our hearts. And he also equips us to do that loving. Therefore, we kind of go, actually, this is an easy part of just being faithful to God. And yet, it is so difficult. In all the difficulties of faith, the Holy Spirit comes to help us. No matter where we're headed, no matter what God is calling us to, no matter how scary it is, no matter how scary it is at the moment, how much trials and tribulations you are facing, the Holy Spirit is there to help. Ask for him and he will fall upon you. He will guide our wandering hearts, as the song just said. He will guide us and hold us tenderly, so that we may all finish the course and the ministry that we are receiving from Jesus Christ. Whatever that ministry, whatever shape that ministry takes, God will enable it and equip us. You do not have to make it. If God is calling you to do something, you're going to go, I can't do that. I'm going to have to work out how to do that. I'm going to have to go on some training course, etc., etc., etc. Possibly, but first instance, God, I have no idea how to do that. Help me. Just for me personally, just to show that this is work in progress for me just as much as it is for you. Part of my vocation, there's something about the monastic life for me. But I don't feel called to join a cloistered religious community. I explored that last year and previously. I have investigated that and prayed about it. But there is something about staying in a parochial setting here in Greenhill for the time being and in the future, who knows where. But there is something also about a consecrated life, a life dedicated to particular prayer and service and study. And so I have a sense that there is a religious order called the Augustinians. I won't go into details of them. You can look them up if you're interested. The canon regulars. And this way of life just burns inside me. It's a passion of going, I want that. That sounds just like how I want to live. And yet it doesn't exist. And I'm not great at starting stuff. You may have picked up on that. I'm not great at being the person who just drives and being the activist. I've got it all up in my head. And I struggle sometimes to work out how to put that into practice. And in my conversation with Bishop Pete this week, he said, you know what, it's really clear in your head. But for the rest of us, we don't know what's going on. And this is where I often miss Sarah, who was able to translate it and to tell people and to paint a picture of what it looks like, because she sort of understood me. And I pray that in my new relationship that will also be the case. But as I desire and work towards it, it is really frustrating to kind of go, it sort of works in my head or in my heart, but I can't express it. And I don't know what it looks like in reality. At that point, I am turning to the Lord and saying to him, come Holy Spirit, make it clear, manufacture it, guide me. And I will just be faithful to whatever circumstances come my way. I will weigh them up. I pray that you will do the same. Whatever that burning in your heart is of, I want to do this. This is what I feel passionate about. Talk to others. Find the translator for you, whoever that might be, a family member or me maybe. Come and speak to people and discern it. But all the time be praying that the Holy Spirit will lead you into clarity as to what that looks like. In all of the burdens, in all the trials and tribulations, in all the frustrations of this time, we come to God in prayer. And what a joy and privilege it is. So as we head into a time of intercession, let's worship God together with this song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Tell me what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. What peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God and thank you. trials and temptations. Is there trouble anywhere? For we should never be discouraged. Come on and take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share? 'Cause Jesus knows our every weakness. Come and take it to the Lord. Sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer.
Right, let's pray. Becky is going to lead us first of all. Kids, if you would like to come back, thank you for sending me loads of photos. If you've not yet sent photos, do send it through Facebook or in other ways. But also, if you wouldn't mind just getting your coloured piece of paper, your pen and your scissors, we're going to be praying in just a moment using that. We've got a prayer activity to do that. Whilst you get those things, Becky's going to lead us in some into some prayers.
Thank you, Father, that you have called us into your family. You've called us to serve our family and show love to one another. I thank you, Father, for our local small groups. We pray that you would just bless our groups to grow, that you would empower these groups to be a source of blessing to those around them. We also thank you for organisations, charities and community projects that are reaching out to those in our communities who are vulnerable, who are isolated. We pray, Father, in this time of national and international crisis, Father, we just pray that your church would grow stronger. We pray that brothers and sisters in Christ would serve each other and show love to each other, that there wouldn't be any needs that we couldn't meet within the church. And then, Father, for your lost sheep, both those who have strayed away from the flock, but also those who have just never heard your name, Father, we pray for their practical and their emotional needs. And we pray that you would just bring us opportunities to serve at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
So, we're having technological difficulties. And I had it this morning and I had it all set up and now it's all gone wrong. So I'm just going to wait just a little bit longer. Children, if you could get your coloured piece of paper, I have set up this whole thing over here, which means I could do a sort of Blue Peter-esque thing, but it doesn't seem to be working. I'm just going to play around with it a little bit longer. But it doesn't seem to be working. That's really annoying. Okay, scrap and adapt. So what I want to you to do is get your coloured piece of paper and first of all, fold it in half like this so that it's short side to short side, okay? So it's, you get a little booklet like this, like that. Now, I want you to fold it again, like that, okay? So that you get a long piece, like that. You should have a tall piece like that. So you fold it in half and half again in the same direction, okay? Now, I'm just going to grab my pen. Now what I want you to do, is using a pen, is to draw a person, be male or female, draw a person on the front here, making sure that the arms and the legs go right to the edge, okay? So that there isn't any missing. Let me just begin to draw that. Like that. So that the leg and the foot, can you see that? And then as it goes up, it's got a very big hand, unfortunately. So it's like that, you see? And then finish off the person and draw it round. Once you've done that, and you've finished drawing your person with an adult, a responsible adult, get some scissors. Adults, you can be doing this as well, by the way. And you're going to just start cutting around the person along the lines. Then you start doing that, okay? I think you might know what we're doing. So if you get on with doing that, once you've finished, you should be able to open it up and you have something like this, a concertina of people. I'm going to use this in our gospel reading. Remember, we were talking about how confusing it can be of who's in who and my father's in me and I am in my father, etc., etc., etc. And that if you love me, then you will do my commandment. And what my commandment is to love me and then to love other people. And the way in which you love me is by loving other people. There is a big chain. So once you start loving God, you then love another person. And that person will then know the love of God because you're loving them like God loves you. So by you loving them like God loves you, you've passed on God's love for you here. Do that to another person. The next person will then love someone else like God loves you, and so on and so on and so on. So what we're going to use this for, this chain of people, is to name the people that we want to love better, okay? That we want to love like God loves us. It might be a particular person, maybe a particular person you're finding difficult, and you kind of go, God, I want to pray for this person. I want to pray that I can love them like you love them, or love like you love me. But it might be a group of people that you want to serve and love. So write it on that. Okay, so that's on the first person. Right, this person here is the person that you want to love, or the group of people that you want to love. Okay? And then I want you to imagine, if you can, what it might look like if they loved another person. What kind of person might they be? If we love them and do good for them and bless them, then what might they be capable of loving and doing? So then we pray for that person, that they would also receive the love of God, and so on and so on. Okay? So it's a bit of a complicated prayer activity, but I want you to give it a go. Okay? So who do you want to love? What group of people do you want to love and to look after, and to who really needs the love of God at the moment? And once we, so for example, the NHS, perhaps, hypothetically, we're going to pray for the NHS. Once we pray for nurses in the NHS, then they can serve patients and the people who come in who might have coronavirus. And if they get loved by the love of God, then who might they do? Families, people who are affected by the coronavirus. And if we pray for them and they feel loved, then maybe for their wider community. Do you see? See how it works? So I want you to just spend a few moments doing that. And whilst we do that, I am going to show some pictures that have been sent in. This is pictures of people. How do I do this? Aha, like this. So here's Audrey. If you love God, then you will be helpful. Helping Ronan there read, I think. Or maybe she's reading the Bible to him. Either way, it's a good response to love of God. Here's Jacob. Being kind, I'm guessing feeding people. Well done. Giving them a big hug. If you love God, you will love other people. If you love God, you will pray. Yes, praying for the Holy Spirit. Very good. I think this is looking after new creation. I think that's what Sarah said. Jacob, looking after new creation. If you love God, then you should look after his creation. Very good. I think this is Audrey being helpful, helping someone to walk perhaps, or holding someone up. Very, very good. Oh, and here's Bronte loving someone. Does the dog have a name, Bronte? Very good. Now, ding. We've got very good. Showing love to other people. Well done. Well done. Now, is there anyone else? No, just Joy. Good. Thank you very much for those photos. So I hope you've all got your prayers. So we're going to pray for them. I'm going to let you children talk through who you think we should be praying for in your families. Adults, if you've done this, then be praying. I'm just going to give some space for you to pray in your homes where you are. I'm just going to just lead us. So I'm just going to, let's pray for this first person or this first group, and then we'll pray down the chain. But I'll keep it quiet so that you can be praying in your homes. Lord, you say that if we love you, then we would love other people and serve them, to show them your love for us, to imitate you, to be like you. Lord, help us to love this first person that we have named, this first group of people. Help us to know how to pray for them, how to serve them, how to bless them. Lord, show us and guide us how it is that you want to love them, to express your love to them. And may we be your hands and feet, your mouthpiece. Help us to pray. Just name those people before the Lord. Lord, we long for them to know your love. And if they knew it, then they would love this next person or this next group on the chain. Lord, may your Holy Spirit fall upon them. May they receive your Holy Spirit to be guided to love them better, to serve them as you would want them to be served. The second group of people, we pray for them that they would receive the love of God. So let's just name them before God. Lord, you call us to serve in order that others would step into your kingdom and serve. And therefore, we pray down this chain, Lord, and we pray that this third group, this third person, would know your love for them. That they would be transformed by it, would receive your love and call out for your Holy Spirit, so that they too may love likewise. Let's just name that group or person before the Lord. And Lord, the chain goes on. It goes on into eternity. This is how you are bringing about your kingdom in this world. A chain of relationship, of blessing. And so we pray down this chain to this fourth group, this fourth person. Lord, may they also know your love, receive it, and be transformed, that they too may love likewise. Amen. Becky helped us to pray for community groups. We had a great meeting of charities and organisations that are serving our community here in Greenhill and Low Edges. And I was really struck by that meeting of 30-odd agencies of our place as a church in it, going, oh, do you know what, we're not doing very much in terms of food deliveries and all that, befriending, and we're doing great at supporting one another, and sometimes I just kind of go, oh, it might be we should be doing some more activity. And I suddenly realized that how many of the organizations are doing really good work, and actually maybe we as St. Peter's at this time are called to love and to serve those agencies that are loving and serving our community. That's okay, that it's because of our love that we set up Grace Food Bank. And Grace Food Bank are now serving the community. So St. Peter's, through our love of them, are able to love the community. And likewise with the Terminus Initiative and with Cook House, as it was then. Obviously not at the moment in the coronavirus lockdown, but there are ways in which we are reaching out because we have loved that first group, or that first person. And so let's pray. Let's be really specific about praying. Yes, for the person far down the chain, but also for the links between us, that we would love and be transformative of just one other person. That is the impact. That it is because of Paul's impact with the leaders of Ephesus that those people were then able to go out and to love the people of Ephesus, to then become the next generation and passing it on, the love of God. So if you feel futile, then just limit your scope and just say, I am going to dedicate myself to loving that person or loving that group, because through them, maybe the love of God will get passed on to the wider world. So let's conclude our time of prayer with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Deliver us, Lord, from every evil and grant us peace in our day. In your mercy, keep us free from sin and protect us from all anxiety as we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now come to our notices. I've got quite a few, so please do listen up. I hope all of you were able to pray on Thursday at 2 o'clock and Friday at 10 o'clock for Patrick on Thursday and David on Friday for their funerals, as we commended them and their spirits to the Lord to rest in peace. We continue to pray for their family and friends in the coming weeks. At this stage, both would really value just a bit of privacy, particularly Jill. So the people have asked me, oh, is she ready to receive cards and things like that? As far as I'm aware, not yet. Please do wait for either Jill or myself to be able to encourage you to do that. But for now, can you please just keep that ruling, if you like, and obey us in that. Listen carefully to us. It's not telling you, it's just, you know, being considerate. I got a phone call yesterday from Paul Silcock, Barbara's son, and Barbara is being cremated tomorrow. It's what's called a direct cremation. So there won't be a service as such. He wanted to keep everyone to have a memorial service later on in the year, we hope, or as soon as we are able. But please be praying between 8:30 and 9:30. They're not entirely sure when that act will happen, but I will certainly be praying from 8:30 till 9, and I will be commending her spirit to God, as I would do if I was at the cremation. So please do be praying for that. Still yet to hear information about Maureen Moore. So we wait for that. On a slightly more positive note, next Thursday, this Thursday coming, is Ascension Day, which means that we celebrate the time when Jesus was ascended into heaven to sit next to his Father until he comes again in glory to bring his kingdom here on earth. And that's where he reigns with his Father. And so we celebrate that moment. And we, in years gone by, have always celebrated it with our mission partnership churches. And we are going to do likewise this year, but just online, as we are doing now. So it's going to be live streamed, but not on our Facebook page, but on the Facebook page of S8 Mission Partnership. So please be liking and joining up to that page. If you want to search for it, it's www.facebook.com/S8Partnership. Okay, and that should take you to the page, and you just like and connect into it, and the live stream will be on there from 7:30. 7:30 on Thursday, an Ascension Day worship. There'll be songs and music from across the Mission Partnership. So please do join us. Murray's going to be preaching. Toby's going to be leading. I'll be doing a Eucharist from St. Peter's Church. So please do join us for that. What Ascension Day also starts is what's called Thy Kingdom Come. It's 10 days of dedicated prayer, and I hope you can engage with this and participate in this, even in lockdown, or maybe particularly in lockdown. We want to encourage as many people to commit to a daily rhythm of prayer. It's just for 10 days, so you can try it out for 10 days just to try and connect in. And what this means is you can do whatever you like. You can join one of the morning prayers on our Facebook page or on St. Chad's website, or however you want to do that. Join a morning prayer. Ours is at 9 o'clock, so you can join us for that every day from Friday. Or evening prayer, perhaps, or both. Maybe you want to set up a midday prayer rhythm of setting an alarm at midday and just saying the Lord's Prayer at midday, or at any random time that's helpful for you. Just finding a rhythm of prayer where you can daily stop what you're doing and pray. Pray thy kingdom come, that God's kingdom would come here on earth. St. Chad's is producing a night prayer, a Compline podcast. I'll put that up on our resource section of our website. So please be checking there. That podcast will be available. Night prayer is a good prayer to say just before going to bed, so the kids can be asleep and you can just have some dedicated time before you go to bed, listening and being guided through a reflective way of ending your day, if that's helpful. So please choose some way of daily connecting in with prayer. The other thing that we want to do is to go on a pilgrimage. I'm going to record and post out for Saturday a pilgrimage around S8 now that I can travel freely and unlimited. I'm going to do a video to help us to pray for our neighbourhood and for our community, that thy kingdom come here in Greenhill, Low Edges and across S8 Mission Partnership. So do join me for that. Again, that will be on the resource section via YouTube. Finally, we are going to try and do a short video, like the UK Blessing. Some of you may have seen that of songs and worship from many churches. That we want to do a Pentecost, the Mission Partnership, as many people in the Mission Partnership as possible, saying the Lord's Prayer. And so I want you to record it in landscape, so that it's not portrait, so that we don't have the black stuff either side, in landscape, on your phone, your computer, however you like, recording the Lord's Prayer in the modern version. That's without the thys and the thines. So record yourself just reciting the Lord's Prayer and then sending it via email, preferably, so that I don't have to do very much sending and transferring and converting. Send it via email to hello@stpeters.co. That would be really helpful. If you have trouble sending that or getting that to me, then do contact me and I will be able to help as many as possible. That would be great. And do share that wider. If you're ringing people who aren't on Facebook but might have ways of filming, then please do it. You might want to, now that we are able to socially distance one-on-one, you might want to take a camera or a computer to record someone that you know, obviously standing 2 meters away, but record them reciting the Lord's Prayer. Remember, landscape, please. That would be really good. And we're going to create a video of us saying the Lord's Prayer together. So I hope you can engage with that. I think that's it. Looking ahead slightly further into the summer, as yet we have no indication as to when the churches will be open. And I suspect what will happen is that the Church of England will say you can if you follow certain social distancing, as the schools are trying to work out now. With our church, it is very complicated, and we will be making a decision within the Mission Partnership. So we will be working out when we suddenly get advice and guidance. We will be working it out. You will be the first people to know, I promise you, of when we are going to start doing maybe more small gatherings of people. And I suspect that the first thing that we will do at St. Peter's is start meeting as small groups. But please do not do that until I have said so, and I will make an announcement on a Sunday. So that's just to put your mind at rest. We have no indication as to when we'll be meeting. We'll be carrying on doing this and ironing out the creases of technology. It's mainly Zoom. I just can't get Zoom to work with this technology, but I will get it sorted, I promise you. Finally, there is no children's church this afternoon at 3 o'clock. But I hope that you can still entertain yourselves and live a life of discipleship as a whole family. If you need any help with that during the week, then you know where I am. Please do contact me. So we're going to conclude our service with our final sung worship hymn. Again, I'm very grateful for the worship team for producing this for us. It is Be Thou My Vision.
Be thou my vision,
I know I've said it lots, but thank you very much, worship team, particularly Andy, Sean and Sandy, for that this week. It is such a blessing to us, and it does take time for all of us, and you've taken time out to serve us in that way, and we are very, very grateful. Thank you very much. So let's conclude our service now with a blessing. God the Father, by whose glory Christ was raised from the dead, strengthen you to walk with him in his risen life, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. So with the risen life of Christ within you, go in the peace of Christ. Alleluia, alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Alleluia. Have a good rest of your Sunday, and we'll see you either during the week or next week at the same time. God bless you and peace be with you.